The book of Ephesians, we're turning to chapter 6 for the text. The text is in chapter 6. Last week we spoke on the breastplate of righteousness, and I thought this week we would speak on another item of the armor of the Christian soldier, because we are in a battle. Some of you maybe have felt the heat of the battle in the last week, and it's good to look at the armor that the Lord has provided for us. And we're at verse 15 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 15. And the word says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that we've been reading this morning about peace. We've been singing about peace. Our sister Helen has sung about the reality of the child of God experiencing peace, even though there are trials and sorrows around us. Oh, Father, we pray today that every believer would be wearing the shoes of the Christian soldier, would have on these shoes of the gospel of the peace. Be with us now in our study in our Savior's name. Amen. About 4 years after our Savior was crucified and risen, a new emperor came to the throne, Gaius Caesar Germanicus. Now, you may have trouble finding his name if you're looking it up, because he is better known among historians as Caligula. Caligula. But that was not his name, that was a nickname. He got that nickname when he was 3 years of age, when he traveled with his father, who was a Roman general. And his father had specially made for him a little soldier's outfit. You know, the breastplate and so on, and the belt, and a little pair of Roman soldier's shoes. And so he got the name Caligula, which means in Latin, little boots, little boots or shoes. You see, the word here, when it says to be shod, it's the word caligu, which means been shod with shoes. And so he got the name of a word that's used in our text. Of course, Paul, being in prison, he sees Nero's Praetorian guard in the cell with him, and he noticed the armor. And he taught spiritual truth through the items of armor that the soldier wore. And he noticed his boots. The boots of a Roman soldier were very significant, and they were very effective in times of battle. And so he drew spiritual lessons from it. What he's saying this morning is this: Christian, you are going to face the onslaughts of Satan. But not only that, you're to be a soldier to go into Satan's territory and take ground. And in order to stand and to fight effectively, you must wear the shoes of a Christian soldier. You must have on your gospel boots. Have you got your boots on today? When you came to church, I'm sure you put on your shoes. I don't think anybody's barefooted here. You put on your shoes. Did you make sure you're wearing your gospel shoes, the spiritual shoes of a Christian? I want you to think, first of all, of their necessity. Their necessity. You see, shoes were very important for the soldier. It wasn't just an extraneous piece of armor. Shoes are vital. My second son, Ian, was called up in the TA when the invasion of Iraq took place. You remember Saddam was captured some months later, and so on. But Ian was called up. Now, he had served in the army for a short time, and immediately he got his call-up papers. You know what he did? He went to Belfast and he went round the outdoor suppliers. What I mean is those who go camping. And he bought a sleeping bag, and he bought a good pair of boots. You say, did the army not provide them? My son knew better. He wrote a little journal we got published of his time, and he met another one of the TA soldiers. He says, I'll just throw a few things together the night before we go. And some wrote, how foolish. Because he knew that they, sadly, the British Army boots are not very good. And some of you with a good memory will remember that in Parliament, our MPs asked serious questions about the failure of the boots that were supplied to our soldiers. Do you know, when they were in Iraq, some of those boots, the sole came away from them in the intense heat, up to 50 degrees in the Iraqi desert. See, my son knew better. He knew he needed a good pair of boots. Now, if that's necessary for a soldier today, it was necessary for soldiers in Roman times. And Christian, it is absolutely necessary that you are wearing your gospel boots as you go through the journey of life. Now, the word there, preparation, in verse 15, it's a word often translated readiness. You're to be ready with your boots. Do you ever get up in the morning, where did I put my shoes? Well, a Roman soldier couldn't do that, for if they suddenly awakened with the trumpet, the enemy's approaching. He couldn't go looking for his shoes. He needed to know where they were to put them on. The preparation means you're to be ready. You're to be ready to rush into battle with your shoes. You know how a fireman, I've seen little videos of firemen sliding down the pole, and sometimes as if they just drop right into their big boots and shoes. It's all one piece, and the waterproof material. Why? Because they're ready to go at a moment's notice. We're to have ready with our shoes. It's necessity. Christian, you have your spiritual boots. You need to be wearing them. What does that mean? Of course it doesn't mean literal shoes. It's the gospel of peace. Now, I thank God this morning, the way of the salvation is simple. A wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. Thank God we believe little boys and girls can be saved. Because the way of the gospel is simple. But listen, the truth of the gospel is profound. Through all eternity we'll be learning more of the depths and the riches of the gospel. And to be shod with the preparation of the gospel, I believe, means that more and more you get a grasp of the doctrines of the gospel. What it means when you were saved. What happened to you? That you were made a child of God. That your sins were taken away. That the righteousness of Christ was put to your account. I think of a memory verse you ought to know, Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we, in other words, past tense, we have been declared righteous before God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Christian, God is not at war with you. He's your Father, Heavenly Father. Because we're saved, the war's over between us and God. Yes, God is holy, we're sinners, but Christ, He is our peace, we read earlier. He made peace by the blood of His cross. Do you grasp more and more every day the great fact that you have peace with God through what Christ did on Calvary, the core of the gospel? And that's why in the trials of life, as Helen sang a little bit earlier, you can know the peace of God in your heart. Keeping. Philippians 4 means protecting, standing guard over your heart and mind when the trials come. Yes, because you know you have peace with God, because you know the God of peace is with you, then you can enjoy that sense of the peace of God. Oh, Christian, you need to have on the shoes of the gospel. The gospel boots, it's absolutely the necessity, because Satan will relentlessly attack you, and you need to be wearing these shoes. You need to know in your mind and heart that you're at peace with God through the blood of Christ. The necessity of these shoes, why? Why? Well, for safety. For safety. You need to wear these shoes this week. In fact, today, you need to leave here with these shoes on your feet. Don't leave without them. Because you never know when Satan will attack. Do you know how they used to fight in Roman times? The enemy would put sharp-pointed sticks just a little bit above the ground, hidden with grass or dust. Or maybe, if they could afford it, sharp-pointed metal points. So that when the enemy was rushing toward them, the spike would go up through the sole of their shoe, and they were knocked out of the battle. Have you ever had a nail up through your foot? Have you? Have you ever stood an attack? Have you ever stood on a needle? And you can't walk, you're, oh, my foot. I think back to our time in Papua New Guinea. It was a long time ago. The people among whom we lived in the tribe didn't wear shoes. And so their feet were like leather pads. I think of one of the chiefs who lived in the village. And I remember the day he came hobbling up. What had happened was, in New Guinea, the main diet is sago pudding. Maybe you've heard of sago pudding. It comes from a palm tree, the bark. It's the trunk of the tree. But anyway, not going into that. They have long, long thorns. And poor Omanwa had stood on one, and even though his foot was like leather, it had gone right through and broken off. And I still remember my wife with a sharpened, sterilized razor blade, and his foot up, and me holding it, and my wife cutting away into his foot, and him, in agony, and getting tweezers to get that thorn through his foot. He was in agony. That's why I never go near my wife when she has a razor. But anyway, she was helping him to pee, and that's why when we went out of the house, we always wore jungle boots. You say, what are they? Well, they're boots with long sides, but they would let water out. You're walking in swamps. But the soles were really thick, toughened rubber soles, because often those thorns would go through like a sneaker, you call them, or when I was young, you called them a gutty. You remember those? Your thorn would go, it would just go right through it. You needed strong boots. The Roman soldier boot, we're told, was made of layers of leather, so that when they ran into battle, the enemy's points couldn't go through their shoes. Oh, listen, do you not realize that Satan is laying out traps for you? He has his thorns. It's not an easy road we're traveling to glory. Many are the thorns on the way. And Christian, if you're not careful, Satan's thorns will puncture your foot and you'll be knocked out of the Christian battle. You know, it's possible to be saved, but of no use in the Christian warfare. In fact, you can be a hindrance. You can be a hindrance because you need to be cared for. Oh, you need the shoes on for safety. For your safety, for there's temptations, trouble, and tribulation. Second one, the necessity for the Roman soldier to wear his shoes was this, not only for safety, but for stability. Stability. You know that mountain climbers, they have special boots that they wear that can grip the rock. I don't play golf, but they tell me golfers, some of you do, have the spiked shoes. And so when they're about to take the shot, they don't slip. That's what they tell them. I never played golf. It was a rich man's game, I was told. But why there's so many poor players, I don't know. But they wear spikes. It used to be runners and steeplechases when I was a boy. They wore spikes. And why? To get a grip. To get a grip. Do you know history tells us the Roman soldiers' shoes, they had metal cleats. We'd call them like a hobnail. Why? Because when they were in slippy ground, they would grip the ground. And when they're in hand-to-hand combat with their shield and the little short sword, remember the sword the Roman soldier had. Sometimes I see commentators and so on as if the Roman soldier had a big broadsword. No, what Paul describes, that's not our subject, the sword of the Spirit, it was a little small sword, more like a dagger. Means taking the word of God for a special situation. So you see him with a sword and a small dagger-like sharp sword, and he's pushing against the enemy, and the enemy's pushing against him. You need to get a good grip. You need to get a good grip. We need shoes that will enable us to stand. I've already quoted Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know what the next verse says? Wherein ye stand. I looked up one commentator. He said, you have firm footing. When you get a hold of the gospel of peace in your mind, you have a firm footing. So when Satan seeks to push you over, he can't. Because you're getting a good grip. You're getting a good grip. It's a wonderful truth. Wherein ye stand. And the same thing over in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. The gospel wherein ye stand. Wherein ye stand. Are you standing? Do you have that stability? Do you have that safety? But the Roman soldier also had special shoes, not only for safety, not only for stability, but he needed good shoes for mobility. Mobility. You see, the shoes the Roman soldier wore, yes, they were thick leather, but they were not just, again, I've seen pictures of people of the armor, it's not right, as if they're just little flip-flops. No, they weren't. They had a piece came right over the ankle. And they were strapped around the bottom of the leg, laced. Why? Why? Because if you've done any running or climbing or whatever, you know you need your foot strengthened. It's so easy to go over on your ankle. You know, when you go in to buy what they call sneakers or gym shoes, trainers, whatever. It's amazing. Have you ever looked around the shop and many different ones they have? Is it for baseball? Is it for basketball? Is it for this? Is it for that? Or I think of a man a few years ago, William Henning, Shankill Road. He used to run in the 50s. He used to run from here to Londonderry on a Saturday to raise profits or to raise for charity and so on. Ran in the Commonwealth Games. He just ran in a wee pair of goodies. But see the trainers they have now all built up and strengthened. But have you ever looked at basketball boots? They come up round the side. Why? Because the basketball player's moving back and forward and the ankle could go. You see, you need strong boots to strengthen you, to get around your mobility. And it's important in battle to have a mobility, to go forward. Do you know, the historians say that Julius Caesar, who of course came and conquered much of Britain at that time, way back in the early centuries. They say that one of the secrets of his great victory was the footwear that he provided for his soldiers. Now, historians say that. Because his soldiers had good shoes, they would surprise the enemy. Because they could march long distances. The enemy would hear, oh, they're so many miles away. Oh, we'll not have them for a few days. The soldiers marched on an average. In fact, I worked this out a few weeks ago. If you were a soldier from Rome, and you were told you're going to be stationed in Jerusalem, now they didn't get on their army vehicles. They walked. Do you know how long it would have taken them? You think of this. 120 days walking 20 miles a day. Doesn't it make you exhausted just thinking about it? That's what the Roman soldier had to walk and then fight. 120 days at 20 miles. If any of you are feeling fit, why don't you go out and walk 20 miles this afternoon? Well, don't, because I want to see you here tonight. just don't ask me to go with you, I have another meeting. Can you imagine that? A lot of us, 20 miles a day, and the next day, and the next day, and the 120, and I'm sure they didn't walk every day. You need good shoes. Listen, we're on a journey. We're on a journey, and we need to be shod with the gospel of peace. And you see, we need to take the battle to Satan. We need to have mobility to carry the gospel. Verse 15 speaks about the gospel of peace. One of the reasons for wars down through history has been to set captives free. First war you read of in Scripture, Genesis 14, is when Abraham took 318 men with him to set Lot free. He had been carried captive by various kings. It was to set the captive free. And listen, the duty of the church here and the duty of every believer is to get on our gospel shoes and to get busy and to get mobile to set the captive free from the clutches of Satan. That's what you do when you go on outreach. That's what you do when you give a tract. That's what you do when the gospel is preached. That's what's done when every radio or television ministry of Let the Bible Speak goes out. We're seeking to carry the gospel. We need to rush. We need to be well prepared. I think of that Roman soldier walking long distances, and then I think of David Livingstone walking the hundreds of miles across Africa. And then I think of Dr. Bill Woods down the decades in Brazil, often by canoe, but other times walking for hours through the jungle to reach people with leprosy and also to reach them with the gospel. Listen, you need these gospel shoes on to carry the gospel. Look in chapter 2 for a moment in verse 17. Very interesting verse here. Remember we read in chapter 2 and verse 17. I want you to notice it. Remember, we're thinking of having on these gospel shoes. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. And he's speaking to these Gentiles who are now saved, and speaking about Christ, the verse before, that he, that's Christ, came, verse 17, and preached peace to you which were afar off. Christ came and preached peace to you. Did you know the Lord Jesus Christ went to Ephesus and preached peace and these people were saved? He is our peace. You say, what? I don't remember the Lord Jesus Christ ever reading that he went to Ephesus and preached the gospel and people were converted. I've never read that in the Bible. No, you haven't. Literally, physically. But that verse clearly says, look at it in verse 17. Christ came. Yes, he did go. Now, in his earthly ministry, he never left what we call today that region of Israel, the Middle East. But yet, in a spiritual sense, he came. Well, how do we explain it? Well, if you want to turn with me to Isaiah 52, we'll explain it. Because I don't want you going away and saying, Mr. Johnson taught that Christ literally traveled to Ephesus. No, he didn't literally go in his bodily person. But over in Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Here's a prophecy. And it's obviously a prophecy of Christ, the coming Messiah. No doubt about it. Because the passage goes on in verse 13 of Isaiah 52. Behold, my servant. It goes on in the next chapter how he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 52 and 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of, now watch it, him. That's Christ. That bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Brings the message of salvation. Christ. That's Christ. Ah, but turn to the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. Book of Romans and chapter 10. And Paul quotes that verse because he's speaking about Christ and the gospel and how Christ is our peace. But under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is enabled by the Holy Spirit to change to change the text a little bit. Able to change it a little bit. And the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I remember the night the late Pastor Willie Mullen put his finger in that verse. I was a boy. I'd known the verse, but he says, "Ron, whosoever, that means you, will you not call upon him now?" And I was saved. But look at verse 15. "How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of," now watch it, them that preach the gospel of peace. Isaiah 52, it was him, Christ. Now it's them. That explains Ephesians 2 and 17. What the verse is saying is this: yes, Christ came and preached peace to you, but he did it spiritually through the mouth of Paul. Because listen, you will not be saved, and those of you I'm speaking to are saved, you were not saved simply because someone gave you the message of salvation. It was because as they spoke to you the gospel, the power of the risen Christ took that person's words and drove them into your heart. And that's an encouragement as you witness this week, as you go on outreach. It's not simple. Your words can never save. But Christ goes with you. And you pray, "Lord, as I witness this week, Lord, may Christ speak through me. Christ, speak to dead souls and cause them to live." Oh, we're to have mobility to go and to preach the gospel. Just one last verse I want to leave with you. 1 Peter chapter 3. I thought of this verse because it mentions preparation, or readiness as it's called. Remember the text of Scripture, the preparation of the gospel, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is writing to Christians who were persecuted, who were hated, who were maligned, and maybe that'll happen to you. People will mock you for being a Christian. But Paul writes in chapter 3 and 14, "If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy. Don't be sad about it." Verse 15 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be prepared. Have preparation always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I'm thinking here, you're a Christian soldier, and when your school friends or work colleagues are attacking you and mocking you for being a Christian, that's an opportunity to take the gospel, to be on the offensive, to attack, to have that mobility to speak for the Lord. Give a reason of your hope. But look what it says there, with meekness. With meekness. You know what that struck me? You know how Christian soldiers fight? With gentleness. With gentleness. You know, it says about the pastor, the man of God must be gentle. David said, "Lord, your gentleness has made me great." The Christian fights with gentleness. While the enemy and people are mocking us for our Christian faith, we respond with love and grace and gentleness. When Christ was reviled by the soldiers, by the religious Jews who spat in his face, he reviled not again. And that's what broke them down. There's a famous preacher called Stuart Holden. He just missed going the Titanic. He was to be on it, but he lived to be a Keswick Convention speaker. He served in the First World War in Egypt, and he met a sergeant major who was a strong Christian. So he witnessed to him. This is in one of his books. And he says, "When did you become a Christian?" He said, "Well, I had no time for Christianity, no time for religion, but a private was transferred to my group, my battalion. And we called him all the names of the day." He was a Christian. And one day after a long march, we come in and he knelt down to pray and had muddy boots and I threw, first of all, one boot and hit him in the head. And he just kept on praying. And then I threw the other boot and I was dead on. I hit him in the head again. And everybody laughed. And when I woke up the next morning, my boots were at my bedside, cleaned and polished. That broke me. That broke me. Something different about that man. Something real about him. He was the means of leading me to Christ. 1 Peter 3:15, as Christian soldiers, we fight with meekness, with grace, Christ-likeness, to get the gospel. Oh, listen, we're all going to face an enemy one day, the enemy of death. And Satan delights to come to the Christian and cause them to fear. Yes, there is a natural fear of death. But oh, when you've got the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, you can walk on the journey through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that he is with you, and you have peace, even at the time of passing through the valley. May we all have our gospel shoes. May we have the gospel boots on.